In just a moment, Generations with Kevin Swanson. But first, this. The World View in 5 minutes.
It's Thursday, February 16th, 2017 AD. This is The World View in 5 minutes. I'm Adam McManus. President Donald Trump appears to be on the verge of issuing a well-crafted executive order on religious liberty. The World View spoke with Brian Fisher, nationally syndicated talk show host with the American Family Association.
Well, what we saw under the Obama administration is outright oppression and repression of religious liberty. And this draft, it's like the Magna Carta of religious liberty, the way it would restore proper boundaries, the way it would keep the federal government from meddling with religious liberty. We are hoping and praying that President Trump will sign this thing and issue it and make it the official policy of his administration.
Fisher explained the practical benefit of a religious liberty executive order.
Let's take businesses that, for instance, do not want to provide abortive fashions to their employees. This would protect their liberty to do that based on conscience. Let's look at Christian adoption agencies who believe that it's in the best interest of a child to be adopted into a home with a mother and a father who are married to each other. They would be at liberty to do that. They would not be forced to violate their own conscience and biblical standards in the kind of environments in which they place vulnerable children.
Two questions remain. Why was the Religious Liberty Executive Order not signed in a timely manner, as promised? And why was its initial draft leaked to the press? Fisher speculated to the World View.
Now, he's got people in his own family. You know, his son-in-law and his daughter, Jared Kushner and Ivanka, they are very active proponents of the LGBT agenda. And it may be that they got wind of this executive order, they got wind of the draft, they didn't like it. And the reason we've had a delay is that they have intervened to try to dissuade President Trump from issuing this thing. And it may have seen the light of day because they wanted to try to neutralize this thing before it got out of the gate. Who knows exactly what's happening there? Now the Trump administration has been sitting on this thing for a couple of weeks.
Join the 100,000 people who've already signed the American Family Association petition urging President Trump to issue the executive order on religious liberty. It's linked in our transcript at theworldview.com. Tim Wildman, the CEO of AFA, is preparing to hand deliver them within the week to the White House to demonstrate how important religious liberty is to Christians. In Boko Haram's battle to eliminate Christianity from Nigeria, the Islamic terrorist group has killed nearly 100,000 people and displaced over 2 million more. Governor Kashim Shettima shared the statistics earlier this week. Boko Haram has been executing an insurgency since 2009 against Nigerian Christians who make up about half the country's population. Revelation 2:10 says, "Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life." Missionary Don Osawart in Russia was the first American to be charged under the country's ban on proselytizing outside of religious centers. Don was fined $600 for holding unauthorized church services in his home. The independent Baptist missionary is now taking his case to the Supreme Court of the Russian Federation, according to World Magazine. The court agreed to hear the appeal, but had not set a court date as of last month. On Tuesday, the Virginia Senate voted to defund Planned Parenthood of all non-Medicaid funds. The House already passed the bill, but Virginia Governor Terry McAuliffe has stated that he will veto the bill. Please, pray for Governor McAuliffe to repent and for God to bring down the Planned Parenthood murder giant. West Virginia House Bill 2073 would require public schools in the state to provide, quote, as an elective course of instruction, the history of the Old and New Testaments of the Bible, unquote. The bill was introduced by Democratic Delegate Ralph Rodriguero earlier this month. Proverbs 1:7 declares, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction." Under the new Trump administration, the Internal Revenue Service has decided to not stand by the Obamacare mandate. The IRS no longer rejects tax returns that fail to report proof of health insurance coverage, reports WorldNet Daily. ISIS is now praising one of their enemies, President Donald Trump. The jihadists describe his immigration ban as, quote, the blessed ban, unquote, according to a New York Times journalist still in Mosul, Iraq. The terrorists believe that the ban proves America really does hate Islam and that they have successfully intimidated the, quote, most powerful man in the world, unquote. President Donald Trump met with Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu yesterday, affirming an unbreakable bond between the two countries. Trump assured Netanyahu that Iran would never be permitted to build a nuclear weapon. Last Thursday, a Good Samaritan came to the rescue of an 81-year-old lady named Peggy, who had her purse stolen from her in a grocery store parking lot. The hero heard Peggy's cries and immediately chased down the thief and retrieved the purse, reported Fox News. Peggy said, quote, "I just can't thank him enough for helping me," unquote. Job 29:17 says, "I broke the fangs of the unrighteous and made him drop his prey from his teeth." And that's the world view in 5 minutes on this Thursday, February 16th in the year of our Lord, 2017. Invite your friends to listen to this unique Christian newscast at theworldview.com. I'm Adam McManus. Seize the day for Jesus Christ.
Welcome, my friends, to the Generations Radio Broadcast. My name is Kevin Swanson. I'm a homeschool father of five, raising our kids out here on the eastern plains of Colorado during the decline of the Western world and the breakdown of faith, family, and freedom and the unraveling of nations. There's no question in my mind these are the most shameful years in the history of the Republic. Never have our leaders so degraded themselves and the nation as we have witnessed in the last 2 years. If you've read anything of the annals of history, you know this is the era of insanity and self-destruction. Really the unraveling of the Republic. And the prophets almost universally cry peace, peace when there is no priests and pray blessings over the nation. When there's not an iota of humility and not a hint of repentance going on, these are the years that will be remembered for the rest of human history as the era in which Proverbs 17:15 was most egregiously represented by our political leaders. Here it is. He who justifies the wicked and he who condemns the righteous are both alike an abomination to the Lord. And often it is Republican-appointed judges and Republican leaders who have led the way with these abominations. They have no interest in stemming the flow or reversing the trends towards obliterating religious freedoms, forcing Christian businesses and ministries to celebrate sodomy, and promoting the worst abominations this world has ever produced. However, there are still a few national heroes who have stood for righteousness and liberty in the face of almost universal opposition. In a world of ignominy, there are thousands of leaders, men and women, who oversee the collapse of empires, and they will be forgotten in the dustpan of history. But occasionally, you will find a person here and there who will take a stand for true righteousness and liberty as defined by God's law. In a moment, the Chief Justice of the Alabama Supreme Court, Roy Moore, will join us on the Generations Radio broadcast. Stay tuned.
Have you ever found yourself asking questions like, what am I supposed to do with my life? How do I know what God's will is for me? How will I find good opportunities and be successful in life? And what is success anyway? My name is Daniel Craig. I'm a homeschool graduate, and I've asked all those same questions myself. As I was transitioning into life beyond homeschooling, I didn't fully understand God's calling on my life or how to prepare for that calling. I wasn't opposed to going to college, but I knew I also needed godly mentorship and real-life application to prepare for life ahead. And that's why I helped create the Kickstart program, an in-depth training program designed to help other students launch into life now with clear vision through one-on-one mentoring relationships and real-life application. With a clear, step-by-step approach, the 29 Kickstart video training sessions and companion guide walks students through the process of first defining vision and goals for their lives, then finding and engaging with mentors in their community who can help them move toward those goals. So if you're not sure how to prepare for life, you can either spend $72,000 on a college education, or you can first spend $129 on a program which provides cutting-edge guidance through a proven process of life preparation that works. Now, if that sounds like a deal to you, I encourage you, get Kickstart today at generations.org.
And we're back on the Generations Radio broadcast, friends. And we have some exciting news for you. Chief Justice Roy Moore from the state of Alabama is coming out to Colorado one more time. We've had him out here before as part of our Christian Home Educators of Colorado Day at the Capitol event. And he's coming out one more time on April 7th. So get that down in your calendars. If you're anywhere within 1,000 miles of the Denver Capitol, it's April 7th for Homeschool Day at the Capitol with Judge Roy Moore. And today he joins me on the Generations broadcast one more time. Chief Justice Roy Moore from the state of Alabama. Welcome, Judge. It's good to have you back with us today.
Well, thank you very much, sir. It's great to be with you. I hope it's beautiful weather in Colorado just like it is here in Alabama.
It's gorgeous out here today. All blue skies everywhere. We love the blue on white. We get the white snow out here, but a lot of blue skies over the white makes for a beautiful day.
I bet it does.
Yeah.
But you can keep the snow.
Okay.
We don't have the snow, unfortunately.
Yeah. Well, you know, here's the news item that I'm sure, you know, most of our listeners have been aware of. The Alabama Court of Judiciary suspended Alabama Supreme Court Judge Roy Moore from office for the rest of his term. Would have been last September. You just haven't given up yet, have you, Judge? You just keep going. What keeps you going here?
I think that we can't give up on the truth.
Yeah.
And when you state the truth in today's society, sometimes it opposes the agenda of others, and they take civil action, criminal actions against you.
Yeah.
I think this is something that what I'm going through, which is what many people will go through if things continue as they are, but hopefully God will bless us with a new understanding of law and a new understanding of his sovereignty in the future.
Yeah. This is the second time, the first time the controversy surrounded the Ten Commandments monument. The second time now it's surrounding a technicality relating to Obergefell. And all of this really ultimately ties into your respect for God's law, doesn't it?
Well, I think it all is about God's law. The Ten Commandments were given by God.
Mm-hmm.
They apply forever. Even the Bible says, Jesus said, think not that I'm come to destroy the law or the prophets. I'm not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall no wise pass from the law, till all be fulfilled.
Yeah.
And I think that Jesus didn't come to destroy what God had given to mankind through Moses. Those rules were very applicable in law in as late as the 1800s, and I think they're still applicable today.
Mm-hmm.
Our problem today is that we're denying that there is even a God or that he has sovereignty over our country and using the First Amendment to justify those beliefs, which is completely improper to do so.
Mm-hmm.
Legalists, law lawyers, and judges who have been trained in secular law schools don't even know the words of the First Amendment, what they mean. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech or press or right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for redress of grievances. That first part is called the matters of religion, the establishment of religion and free exercise thereof. They're trained in law school today to believe that excludes any acknowledgement of sovereignty of God, but it doesn't. Without the acknowledgement of sovereignty of God, we wouldn't have that part of the First Amendment.
Yeah. And now here's the rub, and this is where I think it's difficult for Christians, those who believe in God, to function in political office today. What does one do when God's laws conflict with man's laws? Do you do everything in your power to oppose man's laws and try to defend God's laws? What's your take on that?
God's law is always superior to man's laws.
Mm-hmm.
Under Blackstone's commentaries, upon which are First Amendment and other laws were predicated back in the 1700s, recognized that God's law was superior. It says, upon these two foundations, the law of nature and the law of revelation, depend all human laws. That is to say, no human law should be suffered or allowed to contradict these.
Mm-hmm.
This law of nature being co-evolved with mankind and dictated by God himself is, of course, superior in obligation to any other.
Mm-hmm.
It is binding over all the globe, in all countries, and at all times. And no human laws are of any validity if contrary to these.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, under the historical foundations of our law, we recognize the superiority of God's law.
Yeah.
And that law is incorporated into our law by and through the organic law of our country as recognized by the United States Code. And in the very beginning of the United States Code, it is recognized under organic laws of our country, the Declaration of Independence, the first sentence of which recognizes that we were entitled to exist as a nation because of the laws of nature and of nature's God, basically quoting Blackstone, which I quoted to you earlier.
Yeah, yeah. So those were our foundations. Now we're getting away from our foundations. And effectively, you know, you're staying true to the foundations of United States governance. And you would say the others are actually rebelling and revolting against it. I guess, is that your position?
Yes. I mean, basically, we're forgetting our foundations.
Mm-hmm.
And what shall the righteous do if the foundations be destroyed?
Yeah.
And if our foundation in the Constitution and the Declaration and the laws of God are destroyed, what is our country going to do? What other standard do we have?
Hmm.
You know, most people think that God is irrelevant in some way, even if they say they believe in God, to our government and to the laws. And they justify this by things like separation of church and state. But you notice that doesn't mean separation of God and state. God is not church, and church is not God.
Mm-hmm.
And our forefathers recognized this as late as 1954, when they put under God in the pledge. The United States Congress said in its legislative history to that act, it should be pointed out that adoption of this legislation in no way runs contrary to the provisions of the First Amendment to the Constitution. This is not an act establishing a religion or one interfering with the free exercise thereof. A distinction must be made between the existence of religion as an institution and a belief in the sovereignty of God.
Hmm.
We no longer make that distinction. We don't recognize that God is not church and God is not religion.
Judge Moore, from what you know about God and from what you know about America, what do you think God thinks about America?
Well, I think he's, in the words of Hosea, I believe it is, it says, "Hear the word of the Lord, you children of Israel." Well, I think God would say this of America: "Hear the word of the Lord, you children of America. For the Lord hath a controversy with the inhabitants of this land, because there's no truth, nor mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land. By swearing and lying and killing and stealing, they break forth, and blood toucheth blood. Therefore shall the land mourn, and everyone that liveth therein shall languish." I think our land, in essence, is in mourning.
Mm-hmm.
We see the killings,
the
drive-by shootings, parents killing their children, and vice versa. You see the murders in Chicago, 762, I believe, in 2015, 2016.
Yeah.
You see things going on in our country that defy imagination. Now, I remember when the Boston Massacre where seven people were killed in machine gun fire in the 1900s. But today, we hear hundreds killed in one city, more than all the people being killed in Iraq and Afghanistan. And we think we got a war over there. We got a war here.
Mm-hmm.
There's a war raging within our land.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I'll be speaking about when I come to Colorado.
Yeah.
I look forward to it. Colorado's a beautiful place.
Yeah.
You got a beautiful country, a beautiful state right there.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that people need to know the truth.
Yeah, amen. And
if they don't know the truth, it doesn't matter where you live in America.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't know the truth, we're seeing our country destroyed from within, not from without.
Mm. Well, what's the current status of your case at this point, Judge Moore? Can you give us kind of a little update as to what's happening down there?
Well, I've been suspended without pay and benefits for about 4 months, and I can't even get a job because I'm still Chief Justice of the Supreme Court.
Mm.
But it's set for April 26th, which means I have to go about 3 more months.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully I'll be able to withstand that and finish this case and then do whatever else is necessary. But this is a political prosecution. It's very difficult to defend legally because there's no legal justification for it.
Mm-hmm.
So I just, you know, but I believe firmly it's within God's sovereign will, and yeah, we have to wait and see what he means of it. And I've been here before, and I know that God's faithful.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. You know, as we read history, Judge Moore, it turns out tyrants do not rule forever, and these degraded nations just do not survive. What's your long-term perspective? You see that, you know, there could be a breakthrough here sometime in the future?
I think God's given us a reprieve from judgment in this last election.
Okay.
And I think that I see a lot of young people, a lot of homeschoolers.
Mm-hmm.
You understand the homeschool movement has come about slowly, as most things do, but it has increased from year to year. We've got thousands and thousands of young people.
Oh, yeah.
And it only takes one to make a difference. God uses such an education process and such an experience to bring back our country. And I think that, and it's not just homeschoolers. It's a lot of young people in all kinds of education, in all kinds of places
mm-hmm.
that are turning back to realization of the sovereignty of God.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what it's going to take to heal our country. Just like Second Chronicles says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. That healing of the land is not going to come through a president or by a president or by a Congress or by a Supreme Court. It's going to be by the people of this land. And the young people of this land are coming forth and making a difference in so many places. And I, you know, especially appreciate Colorado. It's a great state. It's got a great homeschool network.
Yeah.
And I've been out there before, and I look forward to coming again.
Well, we've got tens of thousands of homeschooling students out here just in our state of Colorado. And you know, we want to challenge them to perhaps become, I guess, what we'd call a hero for the cause of true righteousness and liberty as defined by God's laws. As you look back into history, do you find some great role models that stood against unbelievable odds for the cause of what's right? And, you know, what are the characteristics that you would find in these great heroes of the faith?
Well, I guess my hero personally is George Washington.
Okay.
I think he was special not only to us today, but to the people of his time. They recognized that Washington was different. And Washington stood against great odds. When he was commanding general of the Revolutionary Forces, he had problems with people under his command.
Yeah.
He had problems with the Congress. He had problems with the British, of course. And he had problems with the weather and with the things he faced. I mean, a nation like Britain back at that time was a biggest power on earth.
Oh, yeah.
We were very small and very disorganized and had no funding, and our soldiers didn't have the proper clothing or the food, and yet Washington relied on God through all these circumstances, and God led him through this ordeal of Valley Forge and Trenton and other places to help turn the tide. And Yorktown itself was a concatenation of causes which showed the providence of Almighty God. In other words, a collection of causes and effects that created an end to Britain's power over our country. So I think I see in Washington humility, but a stern character. He would not bow to anything that he did not, with which he disagreed.
Mm-hmm.
He was firm in his decisions. And he stuck it out, if you so speak, in our language today.
Mm-hmm.
He had great perseverance.
And he always referred to the intervening God, providential sovereignty of God. He certainly had great faith, didn't he?
He did. And he was he was relying upon God. One of my favorite pictures is of him kneeling by his horse
Yeah.
Snow-covered forest. My God, we forget how little there was to rely on.
Oh, yeah.
But when you rely on God, you rely on something can really make a difference.
Amen. Amen. Any future aspirations? Are you gonna get back into it? Are you going to run for governor? Have you thought through any of that yet?
Well, a lot of people are asking. A lot of people are speculating, and I'll just wait and see what God has for me. I don't want to do anything outside His will.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's His will, and I believe that I should try to seek a position where I can make a difference, then I will do it.
So you're not discouraged. You're not really discouraged, are you?
Oh, no. No, not at all. I think,
amen.
You know, we talk about God opening doors and closing doors, and when we get that analogy, we think, well, He's talking about what's in the future. You know, He'll close this door to this job, and I'll get a better job. Well, that's true.
Mm-hmm.
It's all true. But He also closes doors when you're in a job.
Yeah.
To move you to another job. I think that God's will is hard to discern sometimes. Sometimes it isn't.
Hmm. I think of Joseph, who got a few promotions, and then he got some demotions, and then he was promoted again. So,
that's right.
That's a great example of, you know, what God does in a man's life. And God is certainly using you in an amazing way, and you are a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. We appreciate what you're doing out there in the state of Alabama.
Well, thank you very much, sir.
All right. And we want to encourage folks to the April 7th event. Judge Roy Moore will be there at the Capitol in Denver on April 7th. And we include a special banquet with Judge Moore. Be sure to take that into account. This will be a memorable experience that I'm sure your children will talk about for years to come, my friends. A special banquet with Judge Moore at Day at the Capitol in Denver for Christian Home Educators of Colorado. That's April 7th. To register, it's check.org on the web, chec.org. Again, it's check.org to register right now for the Day at the Capitol event with Judge Roy Moore. Judge Moore, thank you so much for joining us on Generations today. We appreciate you very much.
You're welcome very much, sir. Thank you very much for the invitation, and we look forward to coming to Colorado.
This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.